Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's growing prowess in defense production. The participants are Commodore Anil Jay Singh, defense analyst, and Mayank Singh, journalist.
Welcome, listeners. Today we are going to talk about a very important topic, which is regarding India's defense and security. In that term, Make in India has made a mark for itself by setting certain records, and entire discussion is going to be based on that. But before that, let me introduce you to certain points which will make you feel proud that how the things have changed in the recent years. To that extent, India's defense production has today reached 1.27 lakh crore, which is in the financial year 23-24. And this is seen to be a rise of 174% as compared to that which was in 2014 and 15. Similarly, the defense exports has also risen to a record mark of 21,083 crores in financial year 23-24. And this is 30 times to that what was one decade back. There are multiple initiatives which have taken place in between. Lots of policy changes have been made. Lots of initiatives like IDEX, Samarth, in modern technology, which is like artificial intelligence, cyber warfare, has also been made. There's a something called positive indigenization list, wherein a time has been set that Indian armed forces will not be exporting those items in the list, not beyond a set mark or time. So the aim further with these policies is going to be rising the production to the level of 3 lakh crores and also defense exports to the extent of 50,000 crores by 2029. Let us bring in here our expert today, Commodore Anil Jay Singh, who has been keeping his eyes on these important issues. Commodore Singh, what would you like to say about a focus which has been brought down with the movement and a focus movement called Make in India? Can you please explain?
I think Make in India was a transformational shift in our approach towards not only defense indigenization, but across the whole Indian manufacturing sector. When the Prime Minister announced it in August 2014, defense was one of the key areas identified in that. And since then, we've seen a tremendous shift in our entire approach towards defense procurement. The focus has totally shifted. While there is no doubt that the armed forces have to be equipped with the very best that the world has to offer, because you have to go and win a war, not fight a war, you have to go and win a war, and that is important. But also, at the same time, we have to ensure that we are not vulnerable to any external pressures. And we had two instances when we were vulnerable to external pressures. Once, when the Soviet Union collapsed after the Cold War ended, the Russian defense industry totally collapsed. And we found that all of us who were at that time serving on ships and submarines, I was myself the executive officer of a submarine, we had major challenge to just be able to operate at our peak performance, you know, because there was shortage of spares, there was all kinds of things. It took almost 6 or 7 years for the Russian industry to sort of re-establish itself, and again, spares started flowing. So that was the first lesson, and that was the first step we took towards identifying things which needed to be indigenized. Of course, at that time, we were doing small things only, small parts, little electronics, things like that, not major issues. Second bad experience we had was when we carried out the nuclear explosions in 1998, and the entire West sanctioned us. Almost 6 or 7 years of sanctions were in place, and we found a lot of our Western equipment, origin equipment, became non-operational or was not operating at peak efficiency because, again, we didn't have any spares to fall back on. That was the second lesson we learned, that indigenization is very important. And that is why for India, which is today seeking a place on the global top table, it wants to be counted as one of the big powers in the world, cannot afford to be vulnerable to any such external influence where someone else can decide how powerful or how weak you can be made. And that is why the focus on indigenization and what we call Atmanirbharta and self-reliance. I think the most important thing we need to understand is that defense equipment involves a lot of cutting-edge technology. It's expensive to develop those technologies. It takes time to build defense equipment. So this is not going to happen overnight. So there are critics who even say that, look, despite 10 years of Make in India, we are still importing so much stuff. Yes, we are, and we will continue to. But so long as they're moving in that direction, the graph is moving upwards, we should be very content with what we've achieved without allowing ourselves to become complacent and think, oh, we are doing well. So some of the figures that you quoted are extremely impressive. The exports particularly, 21,000 crores worth of exports is a large figure. But that does not mean that we can rest on our laurels. And I think one important aspect is that in defense, exports become important because they not only showcase your capability, they give you military leverage in an area where you want to be seen. For example, the recent export of BrahMos missiles to Philippines and Indonesia has given us a foothold in the South China Sea, where China was our biggest rival. China was coming into the Indian Ocean for giving equipment to Bangladesh, Myanmar, Pakistan, Thailand. We were not able to do anything like that. Now we have gone back into their backyard and we are giving countries our equipment there. So this is a very important aspect of defense diplomacy. And that, I think, is a major thing which we achieved with Make in India.
Also, you brought out a very important point that we may require to continue with the imports, but at the same time, we can't be complacent. And the way the policies have changed, which is like in design bureaus, Army Design Bureau, Department of Naval Design, Navy, similarly Air Force has its own design bureau. The ecosystem is co-opting, even the private entities. The startups, youth are being asked. They are being funded also from the Ministry of Defense with the programs like IDEX, Samarth and all. What do you have to say? Is it really going to change the ecosystem? Because definitely we lack in certain areas as far as the technology is concerned.
You see, in defense, what was happening till a few years ago was that everyone was working in their silos. The R&D organization was developing equipment without understanding fully what the user wanted. The user used to get upset saying that, I don't want this. He would go to R&D. When the thing came, he would say, but this is of no use to me. And this was a mismatch that was happening. We did not encourage private industry to come in because it was supposed to be, you know, defense was supposed to be this holy cow which nobody should come from outside. India did not have a good startup culture at that time, which is now something we've seen in the last few years. So that was the basic problem, one of many problems, but this was a problem that we were all not on the same page. I think, and that is why things like when the Army Design Bureau and the Warship Design Bureau were given this responsibility that you have to go and directly interface with industry, with small industry, with startups, with the DRDO organization. We have now positioned officers who are posted in their labs. Their people come and interact with us in the services. It has brought in this healthy sort of communication amongst all the agencies, and everyone is now focused on understanding what does the user finally want. And that is what the aim is, to give the user what he wants. When you mention things like IDEX, I think this is one of the best initiatives we've taken. And again, we should not think that it's not doing as well as we would like it to. It's not a miracle that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take time to mature. And some of the innovations, the Navy had something called 75 challenges. In the 75th year of independence, they gave 75 challenges. Of those 75 challenges, I understand, almost 8 or 9 have already got converted into orders. So that is a very encouraging percentage. Plus, IDEX, Make 1, Make 2, Make 3, the government is willing to fund, because so far the problem was of funding. Where did that young entrepreneur get his money from? Banks are not willing to loan him. If they loaned him, they loaned him at 14% interest. He could not afford that. So the government giving that sort of funding is helping them at least get off the ground and start off. And then if they deliver, they get the orders after that. So I think overall the system has now is working much closely together. It's far more cohesive. And obviously the positive outcomes of that are beginning to becoming visible to us almost on a daily basis now, with some very cutting edge technologies now being developed in India itself. For example, drones. There are more than 1,000 drone manufacturers in India now. So it was a very positive trend which happened. And I think this interaction is going to increase over the years.
For the listeners, we are talking about Make in India, which is powering the defense growth in India. And with us is defense expert Commodore Anil Jaisingh. To bring out an important issue, which is also part of the policy, our former Chief of Defense Staff, General Bipin Rawat, used to say, we will fight the war with our own equipments, and which is very important, and you brought out very importantly right in the beginning. Also, in terms of policy, let's bring in the role of defense attaches. Let's say, if today defense export is touching 21,083 crores in financial year 23-24, and it is a record mark, what role do the defense attaches have also played? Because in terms of policy, they have been given a role. A change has been made. Defense cooperation has become a very important part, wherein we are co-opting with other countries like France, US, even Russia, Israel, and other many countries from Europe are also coming in. So please throw a light on the role of defense attaches also, because you have also been a defense attache and it has changed a lot.
There has been a tremendous change, yes. I mean, we see it on a daily basis. Our defense attaches are doing a lot of work besides just the military dimension of their job. They are supposed to go and interact with industry in that country. They are supposed to promote Indian industry in the country where they are. They are frequently called to Delhi for various exhibitions. They are here when the Def Expo happens. They are here when the Aero India happens. They themselves come and see what developments are happening and go back and build up this sort of relationship between the industrial relationship, the defense and science technological relationship between the R&D organization of different countries. So I think that is a very important thing, because the person in uniform understands what exactly is the requirement and is able to convey it that much better, both sides. So I think that is really a very positive development. Like you said, I have been a defense attaché many years ago. And at that time, we were not expected. No one expected us to go and talk to industry. And we were sort of, it was an unspoken thing that you're not supposed to go and promote industry. It was not supposed to be a good thing to do. Maybe we could go and talk about DPSUs, but we were certainly not expected to go and talk or promote private industry. That was very sure. So that has changed. And I think that's extremely important, because nobody understands the military-to-military interaction brings out the actual requirement. That is one. And I think secondly, not only from the defense attaché point of view, even otherwise, I now see the Ministry of Defense, Indian industry going to all foreign exhibitions. They set up an India stall, you know, which promotes, and it is not only DRDO stall or DPSU stall, it's an India stall. There are private companies also there. There are government companies. There are young startups are encouraged to go and participate. So I think it projects a picture of India. When we used to see this happening in our time, we said, why can't we do this? Why can't we have an India pavilion? Australia used to have a pavilion. Germany used to have a pavilion. France used to have a pavilion with all their companies concentrated in that area. And, you know, one odd senior government functionary would be there. Some minister would come twice a day. And we used to always wonder, why don't we have an India pavilion? Now I see more and more international exhibitions, India pavilions are there. And that, I think, is a very positive thing also, because you've got to market the country. It's not about marketing a company's product. You're trying to market a country and its capability in this way. These are two very positive things that have happened.
Another important aspect is modulation of entire ecosystem in such a way that you are synchronizing the private entities, the DPSUs, the armed forces, the foreign original equipment manufacturers also in that term. Let's come back to the home turf, wherein Indian Institute of Technologies, Indian Institute of Information Technologies and other such institutions have been brought together, and lots of policies have come wherein innovation centers have been set up. Because modern technology, which whether it's AI, machine learning or cyber things are concerned, they are going to be important as the engine technology is. And in that term, where do you see the things are going to change further now?
I think they're going to change dramatically, because the way technology is moving, we have to keep pace with it. I think the biggest advantage India has now in what we call Industrial Revolution 4.0 is that we don't have to develop technology, you don't have to make capital investments, which was always our weakness. We didn't have that kind of money as the West had. Now it's about brain power. And brain power, I think India is leading the world today. It's about intellectual resource and not financial resource or material resource. And that is where, because of more and more, we are an IT superpower in a way, more and more things not requiring actual physical manufacture, we will definitely be able to frog leap that technology curve as we go ahead. We only need to create the right policy environment to encourage that to happen. And this is exactly what you mentioned, is absolutely right. After a long time, we are seeing academia like the IITs, actually research being funded by the armed forces and being given to IITs to carry out. This was never done earlier. IIT was an IIT, DRDO was a DRDO, CSIR was a separate thing. Now they're all working together. So instead of 40 labs working together, now 60 labs are working together and everyone's putting their brains together. So I think this has been a very positive change. The armed forces, we have officers now positioned in IITs who are actively working with the IIT scientists in developing things. Retired officers are being taken as professors of practice by IITs to help them understand the defense ecosystem, the defense environment, why are they developing what they're developing, how can it be made applicable, how can it transform some, you know, innovation of theirs with defense applications. So these are the important things that are happening. And I think it's all very encouraging, because this is what was required. We all knew it was required, it was just not happening at that time. It's happening now.
Commodore Jai Singh, also the co-option of the private entities, because lots of big production houses, the corporate houses, they are investing in defense production. Throw some light on that also.
You know, till 2002, private industry was not allowed to participate in defense. It was very clear. In 2002, the first DPP came, the Defense Procurement Procedure. And subsequent iterations of the DPP, 2005, 2008, 2008, 10, 2015, we saw private industry coming in more and more being... Earlier, for example, warship. An order was given by nomination to a shipyard. By the 2010 DPP, it will be on a competitive basis between the private shipyards and the government shipyards. So whoever offers the best deal will get the contract. There was no preferential treatment being given. So this was the change we saw happening over the last 15 or 20 years. And now we see that the private industry is almost as integrated into defense manufacture as the public sector. Even things like electronic warfare, which nobody wanted to give to a private industry earlier, because, you know, under the garb of being secret and confidential, is now being given. So I think very soon, if we have to create a vibrant defense manufacturing system, our policies have to be not geared towards defense production by defense agencies, it has to be geared towards national defense production. And that is what is happening. In that come the MSMEs, also the startups, who can all be sort of amalgamated into this larger ecosystem, and we develop a very, very robust defense manufacturing base in India to meet the capacity. One is the capability requirement of technology. The other equally important thing is the capacity requirement. Are we being able to build enough and deliver that quality? So I think these are the two aspects that we will see happen in the years to come, as those figures you quoted showed this remarkable increase in everything, exports, production and everything. So I think it's very encouraging.
Listeners, we were talking about Make in India story in defense production, and the way we have touched the highest marks, we were listening to our expert Commodore Anil Jai Singh on that. Lots of things have come out which might interest you, but Indian war has to be fought with Indian defense equipments. That has always been important, significant, and the way the focus has changed now, the government has brought in focus into Make in India, is going to make a huge difference. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you, Commodore Anil Jai Singh, the way you have explained things for our viewers.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's growing prowess in defense production. The participants were Commodore Anil Jai Singh, defense analyst, and Mayank Singh, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. Spotlight.